I know what everybody's thinking right now. Oh my Lord, guys behind the microphone. I know that's what you were thinking. And I got to tell you one thing. I've taught 100 classes to 100,000 different soldiers in 20 years. And standing up, you guys are really intimidating from up here. I don't know if you're aware of that right now. Seriously intimidating. Wow. And I know you see two pages. Don't worry, it's double line spacing. But anyways, let's knock this out. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, right? Can I get an amen? All right. You know what? It wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I finally figured out what that whole thing is all about. Does anybody not know what that whole thing is all about? For so long, I never really got that verse. I was raised in a typical New England farm, and I went to church every Sunday. I was baptized when I was of age. I thought I was a good little Christian. I played in Christmas plays as a kid. I went to Sunday school. I prayed when things got hard. Life went on. I grew up, and I never really understood that verse at all. And this is my story of how I finally figured it out and how I learned its meaning. I'm not going to go into details because, quite frankly, you really don't want to know them. But I am going to say that I am absolutely no angel. I can't say I've broken every one of God's 10 commandments. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink into your brain. Every single commandment God laid out for man to follow, I willingly broke. I'm not proud of that now. I'm not proud of that now. And I broke them with enthusiasm and even relished the moment. It all started when my mother died. I was very young at the time, thus less than understanding with the situation, and was very vocal with God about it. It took over a year for cancer to eat my mother down and finally take her. And I had to witness this every day. There was no escape. There was no place to hide from it. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that God was not answering a single one of my prayers. From there, it went downhill pretty quickly. Lying became so easy, it was second nature. And honestly, I'd lie for no reason and wound up not being able to control it. Cheating and stealing came next. And if it wasn't tied down with a guard posted on it, I figured it was fair game. Women were very easily manipulated. Drugs and alcohol were my best friends for a very long time. There's a year of my life that I just lost somewhere. I don't know what happened. I truly have no memory of it. I would curse my dead mother, so cursing God came easy. I would stare into heavens with my arms spread wide, curse them both with every fiber of my being, until I'd finally collapse. Exactly. Later I'd pray. Not to God. No. I would not pray to God. I'd pray to my mother. I'd beg for help, guidance, anything. Just anything to know that she was even listening. Worshipping that false idol. Finally, the day came when I had to make that final choice. To live or die. To shoot or not to shoot. Exactly. Thanks. Some of you sitting out there listening to this are going to say to yourself, oh, well, you know, that's war. And you will justify it that way. Some of you will say, well, that was not murder. You will justify it that way. I pulled the trigger. I cannot justify it. You just don't know what it's like. To pull your body armor to the side, put the buttstock of your rifle into the natural weld of your shoulder to pull that weapon up, to sight in on that target. That target is another man. It's not a paper target. You have to control your breathing, steady it, as you control your breathing, lining that rear side aperture with the front side aperture, right through, center mass on that man's chest. Center mass on that man's chest. Watching it rise and fall. For years before that, that paper target never rose and fall. Then you slowly pull the trigger. Bam! He fell down like a sack of potatoes. And I have just doomed my soul for everlasting eternity. I have now broken all 10 of God's commandments. Let that thought sink in for a minute. Okay. Killing got easy after that. It was my job. Sarge was a good killer. Now, moving right along. My life is in complete and utter ruin. I have 3 failed marriages, 2 estranged kids. I have not one single penny to my name. I have no car. No one cares about me. No one cares about me. Oh, yeah. You ready for this? I have a 430 credit score. Not possible? I beg to differ. Okay. My family does not even care enough about me to send me a letter in Iraq and Afghanistan. In all of my deployments, not one letter. Boy, did I have life figured out, huh? I got all the answers. Now, all this is going on in my life. Then it happens. Picture this. It's a beautiful, hot, dusty, miserable, 140-degree day in Iraq. Baghdad. Adal province, checkpoint number 4. A mob is currently in full riot. I have 4 soldiers with me. Okay? I've called for help. Help is 10 minutes out. We are 30 seconds away from reenacting Black Hawk Down. Is anyone missing the analogy here? It's not good. This one local national, that's what we called the Iraqi civilian population, we call them local nationals. This one local national from the mob steps up. He's a big guy. He's got his chest stuck out. Something is about to go down right now, and I have to take action. I have to do something. Next thing I know, we're in a wrestling match right there on the ground. Okay? All of a sudden, this old man, and by old man, I'm talking like Yoda old. Okay? I mean old. He's got this cane he walks with. He breaks up the fight, and he starts yelling in Arabic or whatever he's hollering in, and the mob suddenly starts to disperse. I'm standing here like, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck just happened? And I did not say heck. What's going on? Now I'm going to make a very long story, very short. Okay? I used to carry a cross under my T-shirt. You know? It's not because I was a Christian or I believed in God, but anyone that deployed to war will understand that you got everything you could think of that was a good luck charm, and you carried it. I know people that didn't change their shirts or their socks or their underwear because they thought it was lucky. Okay? I figured, hey, I don't believe in God, but it can't hurt. So I carried this cross. In the middle of this fight, the cross falls out, and Yoda, with his blind eyes, sees it. Okay? Now let's recap for just a minute. I am a huge sinner. Huge sinner. And I am a complete loser and washout who has wasted this precious gift of life God has given me. Completely wasted it. And I hate God. If you're reading this, you'll notice it's capitalized. I hate God. And I have let him know every chance I can that I do not like him. If God is going to suddenly start handing out miracles, it is not going to be with this guy. Okay? Stop. Any mathematicians out there? Any math majors? Let's see if you can come up with the percentage on this one. What are the odds of a cross? What are the odds of a cross under my shirt in the middle of a fight falling out of my shirt, falling out of my ACU shirt, falling out of my armor? Now, we used to carry these neck protectors. I don't know if there's any vets out there, but you remember the ones I'm talking about. The things came up the leg here, very uncomfortable. It fell out of that. Okay? And we're fighting. Everybody has seen a couple of guys scrapping around on the ground, right? Blind Yoda sees that cross and recognizes me as a believer. Now, some of you are saying, but they're Muslim. Let me explain that for a second. They don't believe Jesus is the Christ, but they do believe Jesus walked the earth. They believed Jesus was a prophet. Okay, not the Christ, but they do recognize him as a prophet. So when blind Yoda recognizes that cross, which somehow fell out of all of this, and somehow he sees it, he breaks up the fight. He's like, well, this American can't be that bad, right? What are the odds? Yeah, Laura's over here smiling. No, I ain't touching that one. This act, it's not a miracle. I'm going to call it a wake-up call. It's kind of like God reaching down, slapping somebody in the back of the head, saying, ha. Okay? This act shakes me down to the very fiber of my existence. To the bottom of my soul, I am rattled. Everything I've learned about my purpose on earth is now wrong with this one act. I have just found out that somebody cares about me, and it's God. I am not in a good state of mind. I'm shaking telling the story now. Imagine how I was back then. We go back to base. Okay, people assume I'm shaking because the adrenaline rush, it was a hairy situation. I'm not talking to anybody about what I'm feeling inside. I keep this bottled up. Still doing good on time, John. Word spreads around the base about this little wrestling match. A couple days later, our battalion chaplain shows up. Okay? This is a guy's name is Chaplain Matthew Hamrick. I will never forget Chaplain Matthew Hamrick. Side note, this is a man with a powerful faith in God and an everlasting love of the teachings of Jesus Christ. This is a good Christian. He walks up to me. He says, hey, Sarge, what's going on? I said, not much. What's up, chap? He says, I heard about what happened. Wondered if you want to talk. Do I want to talk? Nobody's around. It's my chaplain. I understand there's a little confidentiality thing going on here. So I unload on this poor captain everything that just happened. And I'll be honest with you, he was not prepared for it. He was not prepared for it. And I dumped everything right on top of him. Over the rest of the deployment, Chaplain Hamrick always seemed to make time and a reason to visit our COP. Combat Outpost, COP, COP. Whenever he was at our COP, he always found a reason to visit Sergeant Monteghetti. And he discipled me in Iraq. Now, by disciple, I think I need to answer this really quickly. I was an atheist who just learned that God still loved me and that everything I learned to this point was wrong. I had a few questions. Very patiently and with a gift of tenderness that I don't know where it came from, he answered all of my questions. Fast forward, we go back home, deployment's over, I go back home. I'm alone again. But this time, I got Jesus. Okay? I still have no money. I still have no car, debt, no place to live. But again, this time, Jesus got my six. In other words, Jesus got my back. I have thrown it out there. This is kind of a do or die situation. I don't want to say that I tested Jesus, but I did. I said, if you really got my back, something's going to happen in my life that's going to change. Well, I had a pen pal in Iraq. Okay? And she kept telling me that when you get back, I will invite you over and I will make you a home-cooked meal. Now, I cannot express to you what the words home-cooked meal means to a vet. This is better than anything in the world. So, when I get home, I reach out to her and she says, yep, I'll come out there, I'll pick you up. You can come over to my folks' house and I will make you a home-cooked meal. Flash forward a few years, I wind up marrying her and she's sitting right there. It was the best chicken I ever had. Later on after that, down in Texas, I got stationed down in Fort Bliss. I can remember sitting in my car and just realizing that the gift of this beautiful, precious woman that he bestowed into my life was literally the final straw. I'm done, man. This is it. I'm sitting in my car bawling like a 15-year-old girl. Just, you know, crocodile tears. I'm losing it. I'm just, you know, I remember telling Jesus, I'm sorry for being such a jerk, man. I'm sorry for everything I did. And I gave my sad, pathetic soul over to God that day. And I have never once looked back. Not a single time. Today, I smile a whole lot more. Whole lot more. I have an unbounding energy and zeal and passion for working for that guy that drives Dan, John, and everybody else completely insane. And I'm not going to stop. I know that... I'll remind you said that. I know there's nothing in this world that's going to hit me that I cannot handle because there's nothing God's going to give me that I can't handle. I know that I need to always continue to work at being the best me that I can. Let that thought sink in. I need to work at improving myself. And the reason I need to is so that the day I die, he deserves the best me I can give him. I've come to that conclusion. I have finally found peace. Mom says hi every now and again, and John 3:16 makes every bit of sense in the world. That's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you are the living God. We thank you for how you work in mysterious ways.